Last week we began to discuss different mitzvahs that take up the part of our life cycle, but particularly focusing on the brachas that are recited during those mitzvahs. So last week we spoke a lot about the mitzvah bris milah. Now we move to the next mitzvah, which for some people is part of the life cycle. Most children is not part of the life cycle. That's the mitzvah of pidyon haben. And we spoke a little bit about it in the past, but now we get really to the sugya itself. And there are some interesting aspects, particularly of the brachas that are recited and those brachas that are not recited at pidyon haben, which open up some different ideas about those brachas for us. So we take a look at the first of the Ramakomos. Starts out with the Rambam Menuchas Bikurim in Perek Yudalef Halacha Hey, where the Rambam deals with the dinim of pidyon haben. Hapodes b'no mevarech asher kiddushanu mitzvaisu mitzvan al pidyon haben. So the Rambam writes, number one, that you recite a bracha before pidyon haben. Not surprising, like any other mitzvah. But the Rambam also tells us precisely what the nusach bracha is, that the bracha is al pidyon haben. So here we're going to make a note of the fact that one could have theoretically conceived of the bracha being lifdos es haben. So the Rambam says specifically the nusach is al pidyon haben. V'chozim mevarech shechiyonu. And then afterwards one recites the shechiyonu. We spoke a little bit about that in the last week. What that shechiyonu is all about, some Mishnayim say it's a shechiyonu because pidyon haben is a rare mitzvah. Others say it's a shechiyonu because of the great simcha involved in pidyon haben. But the Gemara says explicitly there is a shechiyonu. So we have a bracha, the nusach is al pidyon haben with a shechiyonu. V'chachan noisen ha-pidyon the kohen. And then after one recites the brachas, then one gives the money to the kohen. Again, highlighting the halacha we spoke about many times. Kol mitzvos mevarchlem ovelas yasem. Bracha first, then the mitzvah. V'im poda atzma. What if a person is performing pidyon haben on himself? The Gemara Kedushin says that if a father didn't perform the mitzvahs, then the child, when he reaches bar mitzvah, should perform the mitzvah on himself. So then, mevarach liftos habachor, mevarach shechiyanu. So you also say shechiyanu, but rather than saying al pidyon habachor, al pidyon atzma something, so you say liftos habachor. So notice the nuance of a difference in the Rambam between the nusach of the bracha when you perform the mitzvah on yourself, where the bracha is with a lamed, liftos habachor, in contrast to when you perform it on your son, when the nusach changes, and it becomes al pidyon haben. And the question is there any significance to that? So we could just ignore that significance, lam et al, it's all the same thing. But the Rambam himself in the Chas Brachas tells us that difference is in fact significant. So the Rambam in the second of the Marmikamos, the Chas Brachas, break it off, halacha yad aleph. So the Rambam introduces the Chas Brachas ha-mitzvah, it's called a-oise mitzvah, bein sha-oise chov ve'alav, bein sha-ena chov ve'alav. Whenever a person performs a mitzvah, whether it's a mitzvah that's an absolute obligation, or whether it's a mitzvah that one didn't necessarily have to do, but if one chooses to do it, it is considered to be a mitzvah. So in both cases, so says the Rambam, if you do the mitzvah for yourself, you're being motzi yourself in effect, you perform the mitzvah on your own behalf, then the bracha is with a lavet, la'asos, which makes a lot of sense. Le has the connotation that I am doing it, I am obligated to do it. I'm addressing the fact that I am doing this mitzvah. This is my mitzvah. But if I do it on behalf of somebody else, then I cannot recite le, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu wasn't mitzvah me, le, to do this. I'm helping out somebody else. I'm doing the mitzvah on behalf of somebody else. Then the Nuscha Baruch Hu gets changed to al. So then it makes more sense to say al. Al is a more of a general statement about I'm thanking the Kaddish Baruch Hu for the mitzvah in general. Le has the connotation that I'm actually doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So after the Rambam gives you these general headings of al versus le, then he spells out the specifics in halachic base. Ketzad. Lovash tefillin. Person puts on tefillin. Mevarach lahaniach tefillin. Then obviously one should recite the bracha lehaniach, because le has the connotation, something that you're doing for yourself. When you're putting on tefillin, you're not doing it for anybody else, you're obviously doing it for yourself. The Rambam doesn't even quote the second bracha on tefillin of al mitzvos tefillin for a reason, because the Rambam shita is that in regular circumstances you don't ever recite that bracha. The Rambam shita is that the bracha of al mitzvos tefillin is only recited if you spoke between the shoyad and the shorosh, so then the bracha of the shoyad is no longer intact, then we have to give you almost a booby prize, a second bracha, and that's the bracha of al mitzvos tefillin. That's not really the primary bracha. Our minhag is not like the Rambam. Most of us follow the practice of Rabbi Natan, that we recite a bracha on Tefillin Shel Rosh every single day. But in deference to the view of the Rambam holds that you're not supposed to, unless you actually spoke, that's why we have the custom of saying Baruch Shem immediately after putting on the Tefillin Shel Rosh, just to cover ourselves in case, it's according to the Rambam, it's a bracha levatola. But getting back to the story, so the Rambam is giving you lists of examples of mitzvahs that are done for you personally, and therefore the bracha is a lit. So one is lahaniach tefillin. Nisatef at tzitzis mevrach lehisatef. If a person puts on tzitzis, then he recites the bracha lisatef but tzitzis. Some of us may be familiar with the bracha. Many of us haven't said that bracha in a long time. The bracha of al mitzvah tzitzis. Many people who are married don't say that bracha anymore. That bracha was only for someone who puts on a talis katan. Some people recite the bracha on a talis katan in the morning, then they make the sate for the talis gadol when they get to shul. Many people don't say a bracha on the talis katan, knowing that they're going to say l'sate for the talis gadol and tepate both. So the bracha of al mitzvah tzitzis is really a very, very strange bracha. It doesn't appear in the Gemara anywhere. The Rama writes that he thinks the reason why this bracha exists is for the following strange phenomena. He says that al mitzvah tzitzis was instituted by the Rishonim for a talis katan. Why is that? In the days of Chazal, people didn't wear talis katans. They wore regular clothing. The regular clothing were four-corner garments. So everything was in effect the talis gadol. So people walked around the street with the talis gadols. As clothing styles changed a little bit, so people stopped walking around wearing talises in the street. So the Rishonim instituted this idea of at least having some kind of a beggar that's four-cornered. Minat Torah, whatever beggar you wear a four-cornered garment under your clothes, on top of your clothes, anywhere, you chayv and tzitzis. So in the olden days, people naturally wore four-cornered garments. Today, nobody naturally wears a four-cornered beggar, so the Rishonim instituted to put on a special beggar at what we call a talis katan. So the Rama writes that very often the talis katan was too small. It wasn't the right shear. It wasn't large enough to actually be a beggar to be chayv and tzitzis. So it would be a bracha levatala. So the Rishonim said, you should make the bracha al mitzvah tzitzis. Because al mitzvah tzitzis is less of a bracha levatala than the hisatef at tzitzis. Hisatef means, I'm saying to the Rebbeinu Shlom, I'm hereby about to put on tzitzis. It's not true. You're not putting on tzitzis. When you make a bracha al mitzvah tzitzis, you're theoretically thanking the Rebbeinu Shlom for this beautiful mitzvah that I happen not to be performing. So it's much less of a bracha levatala. That's what the Rambam suggests. Strange reason why this, where this nuscha bracha came from. But the Rambam never heard of the al mitzvah tzitzis. The Rambam was before the al mitzvah tzitzis. So the Rambam doesn't even talk about that. So the Rambam talks about the brachas and mitzvahs that you yourself are doing, putting on tefillah, putting on tzitzis. Yashir b'sukkah, b'varach leishir b'sukkah. When you sit in the sukkah, so you make a bracha leishir b'sukkah, because you're doing it for yourself. All the brachas that are done on your own personal mitzvahs. Then the Ram gives him an example, something we spoke about last week. Malas b'no mevrach lo malas habein. If you mal your child, so you make a bracha le. Shachat pischav chagigasa mevrach lishchot. Yeshech tekerim pesach, yeshech tekerim chagigah, you make a bracha lishchot. So that pretty much exhausts the list, says the Rambam. Just about all the, I mean, probably a few others, but these are many of the mitzvahs that are recited with a le, and they all highlight the same theme that you're doing it yourself. However, in Halachi Gimel, the Rambam says, aval im kova mezuzah le'acherim. If a person puts up a mezuzah for somebody else's house, somebody calls you and says, please do me a favor and put in my mezuzah, the bracha al kviyas mezuzah, the Ram says. That's not admitted, but the Ram says, you make the bracha al kviyas mezuzah. Also lehem makev, you build a makev for somebody else's house, the bracha al asiyas makev. Hifrish lehem truma, the bracha al afrashas truma. And then the Ram says, Molas ben chaveiro, mevrach al hamila. When you're doing a meal on somebody else's son, it's not my son, I'm not doing it for myself, I'm doing it for him. So therefore the bracha is going to be al hamila v'chein kol kayotze be'elu. So these are the two rules that the Rambam develops for us. A mitzvah that you're doing personally, it's with a le. A mitzvah that you're doing on behalf of somebody else, you're doing with an al. That's right. The Gemara has a whole discussion about it. Oh, very good. Okay, good. Okay, good. So there are other factors that go into that discussion. The Gemara has a discussion of Len Al in terms of the Dikduk, and then the Rishonim pick up from there to try to figure out what other Kalalim possibly may exist, why we end up with the Bracha of Abu Yochamis. Okay, we have to get closer to Pesach and we'll talk about that a little bit.
Does this go against the concept of Arevah?
No, it doesn't go against it. It means I can help somebody else do a mitzvah. I can put it.
It's an arm mitzvah when they're.
Well, it's not really. Arevus just means that I'm like a mechuyev b'davar. There's another Jew who hasn't put on tefillin. I can be motzim in the bracha because I have to make sure he takes care of his mitzvah. But it's not the same. It's still not my mitzvah. It's still not my hanachas tefillin. So with this background, now we have to go back to the first Rambam Kamos for a minute and see how did the Rambam formulate the brachas on Pidgin Aben. So with the Rambam, back to the first Rambam Kamos, it was Bikur and Perek Yidav Lachahei, Hapodes B'no, Mevarech Asher Kiddushan Mitzvayisitz Var Al Pidgin Haben. The Rambam writes, you recite the bracha Al Pidgin Haben. Why is that? Why do you recite the bracha Lifdosis Haben? The same way the Ram says a second later, if you poti yourself, you make a bracha liftos habachor. So why is it when it comes to pidyon haben, when I'm doing pidyon haben to my son, isn't that my mitzvah? I'm supposed to do it. Kol b'chor b'nechatifte. Isn't it considered to be my mitzvah? Why doesn't it get, why doesn't it receive the bracha with the nusach of Alamed? So the Rivash writes in the Tshuva that he thinks what the Ram is driving at is as follows. There is a fundamental question as to what's the nature of the mitzvah of pidyon haben, specifically as it relates to the father. The Gemara Kedushin tells us that first and foremost, the father does pidyon haben. If the father didn't get around doing it, so then when the child turns bar mitzvah, he does it on himself. So one could raise the following question. Who is the real chiyuv of pidyon haben on? One could suggest that the real mitzvah of pidyon haben is on the child himself. It's my mitzvah, al b'chor. I have to be paid to myself. But since the Torah wanted pidyon haben to happen when the baby's very, very young, 30 days old, it would be kind of strange to insist that the baby be pulled himself at that age. So therefore the Torah, in effect, put the father as the shaliach, put the father in place, put him as the guardian of the child. The same way he's doing everything else for the child, he'll take care of the mitzvah. But fundamentally, the mitzvah is a mitzvah saben. The mitzvah pidyon haben really belongs to the son. The father is doing it almost like a shaliach on behalf of the son. Well, maybe no. Maybe we totally misunderstood that. Maybe the mitzvah of pidyon haben, it's a chayves ha'av. The mitzvah is fundamentally on the father. The fact that when the father didn't do it and the child turns by mitzvah, he has to do it himself. The leis brera. Someone's got to do it. So obviously, if the father's not around to do it, it's the son that does it. But the mitzvah starts as a real chovas ha'av. It's not a chovas ha'ben ala av. So comes the Rivash and says, from the Lashon Rambam, it would appear which of these two tzedakah and which of these two sides of the chakira is correct. If the nature of the mitzvah pidyon haben would be a direct obligation, a direct commandment to the father, it's his personal obligation, like putting on tefillin, so then the bracha should have been liftos es haben. From the fact that that is not the nusach is al pidyon haben, that seems to indicate that the mitzvah is not really the father's. The mitzvah doesn't really belong to the father. The mitzvah really belongs to the son, and the father is almost serving as a representative on behalf of the son who can't do his mitzvah. This would be in contrast to by bris milah, because by bris milah, the Rambam writes, if you mal your own child, then the correct bracha is lomol asaben. So unlike pidyon haben, where it becomes an al, to highlight, to reflect the fact that it's not your personal mitzvah, by bris milah, it really is your personal mitzvah. So, according to the pidyon haben, this week's Shia pidyon haben, it comes out, according to at least this reading of the Rambam, that the mitzvah of pidyon haben is primarily not really targeting the father. The mitzvah is really targeting the child. The father is only a representative of the son. Is there any nafkamina ladina besides just the nusach habracha? So there could be a big nafkamina. The Achavarim talk about the following shot. What would the din be if, let's say, a father didn't get around to doing a pidyon haben, and now the child's ready to turn bar mitzvah, and now the father wants to go ahead and do it. The father, the kid's bar mitzvah, all of a sudden the father goes, give out, we forgot to do pidyon haben, so let me take care of it right now. So whose mitzvah is it right now? It's already after bar mitzvah. So if you hold that the primary mitzvah is really to the father, then the father is still chayiv in the mitzvah. Just because the child is 65 years old, it's still the father's chayiv. But if you hold that it was never the father's chiyuv. It was really just the child's chiyuv. The only reason why the father got stuck with it is because the child couldn't do it himself. But once the son reaches bar mitzvah, when he can do it himself, so then maybe the father's chiyuv disappears. The father's chiyuv never really existed in the first place. It was only as a guardian, as an apotropos, as a shaliach on behalf of the son, that only makes sense when the son couldn't do it himself. So that would chapen afkamin ladina. Who is responsible now to do the pidyon haben post 13? According to one side of this chakira, so the obligation is now totally solely upon the son, the father's out of the picture. That seems to be the Rambam's shita. What do I say? No, the father's still very much in the picture, and they're both obligated in the mitzvah of pidyon haben. So, my nafkamina, at the end of the day, someone's going to do it. So at the end of the day, does it really matter who we're pointing a finger to? So we had an interesting shayla, potential nafkamina ladina that came out of this, a real nice shahaya. Pretty often in yeshiva, we get these situations where a kid comes our way, Bal Tshuva, from Russia, from other places, that he really was a Bechor, and he was supposed to have pidyon haben. Lamaisa, nobody knew about it, nobody heard of it, no one was from, nobody cared. Lamaisa, the kid didn't have pidyon haben. And what inevitably happens is, he's sitting in some shir or something, the age of 19, and all of a sudden he hears about pidyon haben, he starts scratching his head, he asks his friend, hey, he was the firstborn. They're not Kohanim, not Levim. So all of a sudden, Bachamu, we're required to have a pidyon haben. So I remember every once in a while we get one of these pidyon habens in yeshiva. So one of these scenarios that happened a couple of years ago was with the following. that this kid, student in yeshiva, Baal Tshuva, just came to his attention that he's required to have a pidyon ben. So he called his parents. He said, "Yeah, you're firstborn. Okay, fine. So ready to do a pidyon ben." So the father got very excited. The father wanted to come for the pidyon ben. So, you know, it's a new part of the Jewish life cycle. He got all excited. Newfound mitzvah. See, but the father lived out of town. He just couldn't get away from his visit, get away from work for a while. So he said he's able to come in 2 weeks from now. So the shaila was, should we wait 2 weeks or not? So now the truth is, obviously, you should wait 2 weeks. I'll keep it avayim. I'll kirov. I'll karsato. That I'm maskim to. So nicely waited 2 weeks. But what we were asking the shaila from the pure halachic vantage point, is that a reason to wait for 2 weeks for the father to show up or not? What should that shaila depend upon? So usually we have a rule called reason when dealing with mitzvahs. You try to do a mitzvah as quick as you can, but even within the klal's reason when dealing with mitzvahs, sometimes you have a clash between doing a mitzvah derech zrizos versus doing a mitzvah more behidura, doing a mitzvah in a more beautiful manner. So that's the whole question: which one takes precedence? So here, having the father present, is that a hinder in the mitzvah? I mean, it's a nice thing, and we should do it, and we should encourage it. We'll do it for kirov. We'll delay dalai for 2 weeks. But from the pure halachic vantage point, is that a hinder or not? So I thought it depends on the shaila. When they asked me the shaila, we're talking about, I thought it depends on the shaila. If you hold that the father is still chayev, so even though the son can do it on behalf of himself, the fact that the father is chayev, it would be appropriate for the father to actually be there at the shasa mitzvah. How do I know that? Because the Gemara tells us that, you know, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to have representatives of Klal Yisrael would go up to Yerushalayim every week. Different groups of people would go up every week to be present when they brought the Korban Tamid. Why was that? The Gemara says, because when a person's Korban is being brought, a mitzvah is being done, it's your mitzvah, the Korban is being brought on behalf of me, how can I not be there? So in theory, we should all close up our businesses, close up our farms, and go to Yerushalayim and spend the whole year there, as each day the Korban Tamid is brought. But we can't do that. It's after the Ganachet. People got to go to work. So therefore, Chazal instituted this whole practice of mamados. You have representatives of Klal Yisrael who go up weekly to the Beis HaMikdash, representing all of Klal Yisrael. So you see that this is a real din. This is a din in the Torah. This is a concept that if it's your mitzvah that's being done, it's proper for you to be there. It's not. It's a hidden mitzvah. It's a great achievement of mitzvah when you're present, watching a mitzvah being done. Not that it's just you're getting a message that your mitzvah was done for you 3,000 miles away. So I thought that if the mitzvah pidyon ben is still on the father, even though the child is already 20 years old, but the father is still a bialim in this mitzvah, that it's appropriate in halacha, he should be there. So if he can come, maybe it's kedai. Maybe that idea of having him come is more important than the reason we give him the mitzvahs. If you hold that the mitzvah is not really the father's mitzvah, if you hold, like the Rambam is saying, it's al pidyon ben, I'm doing the mitzvah on behalf of my son, once the child is bar mitzvah, so then what does he need me for? So I'm not a baal dover anymore, not a bialim anymore. So then I want to be there. That's nice for me to be there, but that's not a halachic consideration. So from the pure halachic system, so I thought whether or not we really should be machped to delay the pidyon ben whenever the father come, ultimately depends upon this Rambam. So I hope I'm getting back to the story. So the first bracha that we recite the pidyon ben is the bracha of al pidyon haben. So it's the fact that we recite the bracha is a gefer shigumar, fer shiram, shulchan aruch. The fact that the nuscha bracha is such may indicate to us something about the nature of the mitzvah. The second bracha that was recited was shechiyonu, which we mentioned, the Gemara says explicitly, there was machlokes harishonim as to why he's saying it, but the ma'aseh of that bracha is also pretty straightforward. Those are the two brachas that at least appear in the Gemara itself concerning pidyon haben. There was a third bracha that does not appear in the Gemara, that appears in the text of the Gaonim, which also was recited, at least in the days of the Gaonim, at a pidyon haben. So if we take a look at the third of the Maamar Mekomos, the Rosh of Maseches Bechoros, the very end of Maseches Bechoros, he has a couple of columns about Huchas Pidyon haben, kind of sums up everything you have to know about a pidyon haben. So in Siman Aleph, the Rosh writes, he quotes a very, very long nusach, very complicated nusach from the Gaonim, Baruch Hashem, Kadesh, Bechori Yisrael, Langa, Megillah, whole nusach HaBracha, it doesn't appear in the Gemara. And the Rosh writes, "Lo nogu levarach haklein brachazu b'tzarfas of Ashkenaz." He says that in France and in Germany, the Ashkenazi communities, so we never heard of this bracha. We don't recite this bracha. The lo matzinu shemavarachim shum bracha shlo huskura b'mishno b'tasefto b'gemara. So the Rosh has two issues against this bracha. He says, first of all, we don't have a practice of reciting any bracha that doesn't appear in a Mishnah, doesn't appear in a Tesefta, doesn't appear in the Gemara. It means basically, after the period of the Gemara, so brachas ended. We have no right to make up new brachas. We don't find any chiddush in Hilchos Brachos. We don't find a brand new bracha. All of a sudden, in the Middle Ages, somebody came up with a new nuscha bracha. That ability to enter the brachas was limited to the days in Ravina and Ravashi. Why is that? What exactly changed at the time of Ravina and Rav Ashi? So this is probably the same idea as the Rambam develops for us in his Hakdamah to Perashat Mishnayos, where the Rambam writes that any din that was agreed upon in the Gemara, any conclusion, any sugya in the Gemara that paskens the hilchas of halacha, etc., or any clear conclusion of the Gemara in a certain direction, is binding upon all of Klal Yisrael. Anything that was the Schadish afterwards, let's say you have a Beis Din in a certain part of the world that decides to make it a Takana, Minik, and Gzeir or something, so it's binding on the people of that community, but it has no relevance to people outside the community. So let's say, Lamoshal, some communities in Klal Yisrael accepted not to eat kitnios on Pesach, and many of the Sephardic communities didn't accept that. Some of the communities accepted the Chayim Derben and Gerishim about not having two wives, and some of the Sephardic communities at the time didn't accept it. So there are Yesh V'Yesh, so the Rambam writes that anything that was agreed upon by the Gemara, that is the tokef of a Kabbalist called Klal Yisrael. The Beis Din, Ravina, Rav Ashi, the Chassimus, the Gemara, in the days above, when the Gemara was concluded, so all of Klal Yisrael agreed to that. That was accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. That takes on the status of what we call a Beis Din HaGadol, even though it's not 71 Dayanim sitting in Yerushalayim, but that's the consensus view of all of Chachma Yisrael. Now, in the Middle Ages, a Beis Din in France decides one thing, a Beis Din in Spain something else, North Africa something else, Babel something else. So each Beis Din for themselves, each Jewish community for themselves. So that's probably what the Rush is saying here also, that Ravina and Rav Ashi were the end of the Haskam is called Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael, Beis Din HaGadol, they can institute brachas. Individual Rabbanim can institute brachas. As great as their individual Rabbanim and Batei Dinim are, they're only acting as individuals. They have no koach to institute brachas. So that was the Rush's first stand against this bracha. Just, it's too late in history. And the Ode says the Rush conceptually doesn't understand this bracha. Lama Yivarech HaKayin Eina Osa Shum Mitzvah, El Makabo Matnas Kahuna. The Nusch of this bracha was instituted by the Gaonim to be recited by the Kohen. So the father recites Al Pidra Ben, and then the father recites Shechiyaru. The Kohen recites this Langa Megillah. So the Rosh says, what's the Kohen reciting a bracha for? When I give Truma to the Kohen, I give Chal to the Kohen. So he makes a bracha. We never heard of such a thing. He's not doing anything. You make a bracha when you're doing a mitzvah. You don't make a bracha when you're receiving a gift. So the Rush says that he doesn't understand why in the world one would even think to make this bracha. So he has two issues against this bracha. One was a historical issue, that's too late on the scene, halachically, historically. And number two, conceptually, it doesn't really seem to make any sense. So this bracha has probably not been recited since the days of the Gaonim, except one time it was recited. I was present at that Pidya Ben when it was recited. It was my mistake. I was, one of my brothers-in-law was making a Pidyon Ben, so I brought him the sefer called Pidyon Ben Kilchos, a beautiful sefer. There's everything everyone wanted to know about Pidyon Ben. So I gave it to him before the Pidyon Ben. I should look up, read up a little bit. In the back of sefer Pidyon Ben Kilchos, so there are two chapters. So one chapter is, say the Pidyon Ben, Hanog Bezman Hazeh, goes through, takes you through the steps, and like an art school going through the steps. And then there's for the more academic chapter, it says, say the Pidyon Ben Lefi Minhag HaGaonim. So there are a few odds and ends of different minhagim that existed in Bavel in the 800s that were what we've done, that we don't, some we do today, some we do a little bit different, some we don't do at all. Different nuances of minhagim that were done during a Pidyon Ben in the days of the Gaonim. So my brother-in-law was reading the wrong chapter. So he opened up the book to say that Minhag HaGaonim, not live Bezman HaZeh, but rather the free Minhag HaGaonim. So he was standing with the Kohen. I remember I was standing there watching, and the Kohen was holding a regular art school sitter, and he came in and he said, this is my firstborn, and he starts to say a Nusach, and it didn't sound right. It grated on my ears. I figured, I must have missed something. Then the Kohen's a fump going through the art scroll. He's answering him. He's like talking two different languages. And then I figured, whatever happened doesn't matter anyway. We made the brachas, did the Pidyon Ben. Then all of a sudden, my brother-in-law starts another bracha. Said, what happened? Where was that bracha? And then I remembered, that bracha, that's the Russian bracha that he said that Bitzar Fasuv Ashkenaz Lo Nogol Asos. So in California they did it, but in France and Germany they didn't do it. So it's probably the first time in the last 1,200 years that bracha, first and last time that bracha was recited, thanks to my mistake. Okay, anyway, so the question is, how do we respond? Is there any way to defend this old practice? The Gaonim wasn't just a mistake in Nusach. So, but the Hilge Gaonim, the Gedolei Hador Bavel, were making this bracha, obviously. So how come they weren't so worried about the Rosh's two tainus? So the Emma says I see it's a call from California. It must be the bruch. I know it says on the phone, California, it must be some Ruach HaKodesh that... yeah, so how would the Gaonim respond to these two tainus? About the problems with these brachas. So the first attack that the Rush has, we don't make brachas that were instituted after the Gemara. We have to take a step back and say, is that really true? We personally don't make brachas that were instituted after the Gemara. Many of us do. If you take a look at the fourth of the Mar Mekamos, Taizen Brachas, the Abdal Rebbe's quotes, a famous discussion. The Gemara says that one of the ways to get Olam Haba, it's one of the ways, a lot of things you got to do. One of the ways to get Olam Haba is to be Samech Ulu L'Tfilah by Ma'ariv. That even Shachris, everyone's Samech Ulu L'Tfilah. Ma'ariv is already a Chiddush. So you have to say Gal Yisrael and then immediately go into Shemoneh Esrei. So the Gemara says, we don't do that. We say Shomer Ma'Yisrael Ad. So the Gemara says, nah, that's like an extension of Geula. That's a Geula Richta. So Tosfos adds on, "Va'anu she'omim yureinenu p'sukus acherim achar shkvein." We say a longer Megillah brach shem liyolim yureinenu, but brachas, but ma'ases, the whole story. So he says, "How do we do that? What happened to geula tefila?" So nira hove tekinu l'rabbanon havla ki geula arichta. So he says, when the later rabbanon instituted that, not in the Gemara, there's no mention of brach shem liyolim in the Gemara at all. It was instituted in the days of the Gaonim. So it's also like a geula arichta. It's an extension of the brach of Gaul Yisrael. Why in the world do we say this? Because the Gemara says in Brachas that you're not supposed to leave somebody behind in shul. It's dangerous. The old days, the shuls were out of the city limits. So you're going to leave a guy behind in shul. He's going to walk back. He's going to get hurt on the way back. So you have to make sure everyone walks out of shul in groups. So the Gaonim instituted that sometimes the guy will schlep in to Ma'ariv late, so he's going to be catching up. So if you're going to jump to Shomer Ma'aseh Olam Ad, everyone's going to say Shemoneh Esrei, he's still going to be in Brichas Kriya Shema. So you give a little bit of a buffer, a little bit of a stall. So the stall is, everyone in Shul says Baruch Shem Liolam. But he doesn't say Baruch Shem Liolam. A lot of people don't realize that. The whole goal of Baruch Shem Liolam was for the latecomers. So everyone else is saying it, and he doesn't say it, so he has a chance to catch up. By Aleinu, by tell him afterwards, everyone walks home together. That was the goal of Baruch Shem Liolam. So Tosfos defends that practice of saying it, and we know that many people today, many shuls, including the shul, says, including Pashul also says, Baruch Hashem Liolam. So the Baruch Hashem Liolam was not instituted by the Chachmei Gemara, it was instituted after the Gemara, and people say it. So there were Takasam who were opposed to saying it. There were those who didn't want to say it, Dafka, for that reason, because they felt that it's a bracha. After the Chachmei Gemara, we have no right to say. So in Achinam, Takasam were so concerned with this rush, and Chesped Jaben, they refused to say it. Others don't like to say Baruch Shem Liolam because they thought that it breaks up Geula Tefillah, that we don't have a right to make another interruption. It's bad enough, it's hard enough Chazal made the interruption of Hashkivenu, but to throw another interruption, that's not appropriate. So it's for those two reasons that many people dafka have the practice not to say it. In Eretz Yisrael, nobody says it. It's nothing to do with Mitzvah Tlois Baris, it's just that's the way it was. The minute in Eretz Yisrael became that way, that Hashkivenu is with Meir Venz, you know, there is no Baruch Shem Liolam. But that which the Rosh said, that you're not allowed to make brachas after the Chachmei Gemara, not so simple at all. Many of us do recite the bracha, Baruch Shem Liolam. There are a few other brachas, the odds and ends of brachas that we do recite that don't appear in the Gemara. The bracha of Anoisein, Layoev Koach, second to last of the Brichas Shachar, is not in the Gemara. It was instituted after the Gemara. So we do say that. I guess in the days of the Gemara, they all like Koachas, but they get older, no one has Koachas anymore. So we say Anoisein, Layoev Koach. We say Makadosh Shimcha Barabim, the bracha in the morning, Lefichach, that many people say in the shortened version of Kriya Shema, also doesn't appear in the Gemara. That's why some people don't say it. Some people just say Baruch Makadosh Shimcha Barabim. They don't say it whatever at all. So this is a running debate whether post Chachmei Gemara do we have a right to institute brachas or not. So the Gaonim were obviously of the opinion that yes, we do, and they did institute brachas. They weren't so concerned with this some inability to institute brachas. But the second issue that the Rush raised, the conceptual issue, really is very hard to understand. Why does it make any sense for a Kohen to recite this bracha? What in the world is the Kohen doing? He's just passively receiving Matnas Kehunas, just receiving the Far Shekel. So there is another statement that the Gaonim have, that the Rishonim called a tradition that we still practice out of Yemezeh. When we do a Pidyon HaBen, so right before the Pidyon HaBen, we put in a little skit. We have a little conversation that takes place between the Kohen and the Father. It's done in Aramaic, so many people don't even understand it. But it runs something along the following, that the Father comes, presents the baby to the Kohen, and says, "This is my firstborn baby." So the Kohen says, "What would you like to do? You want me to keep the baby? You want me to give you back the baby? What would you like exactly? You know, would you like to give me 5 shekel for the baby?" So the father thinks about it a little bit. Baby's crying a little bit. Thinks, maybe. Father says, "You know what? I want to keep the baby. I want to give you the 5 shekel in exchange." And then they go ahead and they do the mitzvah. So the Gaonim quote that text, that give and take in Aramaic. That's why we say in Aramaic, because it was instituted in Bavel. It doesn't appear in the Gemara. So many had an issue with that. They said, "What kind of game is that?" The Kohen says to the father, "You want the baby, you don't want the baby, you want to pay me for the baby, not pay me for the baby." And let's say the father would say that, "Taka, he's a little low on cash, keep the baby." Still mechuyev in the mitzvah pidyon ben. There's no option, there's not a game. So why are we putting on this skit for? So we don't really understand why. So the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, he thinks the reason why we put on this skit is the Gaonim are trying to emphasize the following, that the mitzvah pidyon ben even though you mechuv do the mitzvah whether you want it, you don't want it, you have whatever, you mechuv do the mitzvah. But the nature of the mitzvah is such that the kohen is an active role, plays an active role. Pidyon HaBen is not just like accepting truma. It's not just giving a gift to the kohen. The kohen is actually participating in the pidyas HaBen. In what sense is he doing that? The Torah is making believe that the kohen owns the child. It's not true. It's not true. The child is the child. It's a free man. That's not the property of the kohen. But the nature of the mitzvah is, it's as if the Torah said the baby belongs to the kohen, and you have to buy the child back, and the kohen's mom is selling you the baby. That's the very essence. That's the nature of the mitzvah pidyon HaBen. That's why we say the strange give and take, to highlight that idea. So if that's the case, then it makes a lot of sense why the Gaonim said there's a bracha here. The Rush jumped on the Gaonim and said, what are you making a bracha? Was the Kohen making a bracha? He's passive. He's not doing anything. So the answer is no, it's the Gaonim Shitasam. That the Gaonim, the same Gaonim who instituted the saying of the skit, the passages between the Kohen and the father, they wanted to also highlight again that the Kohen is an active participant in the mitzvah. There's the father's mitzvah, and there's the Kohen's mitzvah. The father's mitzvah is to give the money, the Kohen's mitzvah is to give back the baby. That's Tacha the mitzvah, on behalf, that's incumbent upon the Kohen, and that mitzvah would warrant a bracha. Where did they get this from? It doesn't appear in the Gemara Bechlal, this whole idea. That's why the Rush said the whole thing doesn't, not true. The whole thing doesn't exist. Where in the world did the Gaonim get this idea that there are actually two components of the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen? So I thought that maybe they got it, mamash, from reading the Pesukim in Chumash. There are two parashas of Pidyon HaBen. There's a parasha in Parashas Bo, Kadosh Licha Bechor, Bechor Bechor Benecha Tifta, etc. And then there's a parasha in Parashas Korach that says, Ach Pado Sifta. You have to be Poda the firstborn. Who are those Pesukim talking to? So Parashas Bo was clearly speaking to Klai Yisrael. V'davashar Moshe Lemar, Kadosh Licha Bechor, Deram, Mayom Moshe La'om, Kadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Moshe, speaking to Klal Yisrael. To each and every Yisrael has to do the mitzvah. If you have a firstborn boy, you have to do the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. That's the chelik of the mitzvah on the father. That's the bracha Pidyon HaBen, lifteis HaBen, whatever the nescha brach is, that's the first half of the mitzvah. In Parshas Korach, the psukim that speak about Pidyon HaBen are not even talking about the Klal Yisrael, they're talking to the Kohanim, V'yom HaShem El Aaron. It's talking about all the schuyos that a Kohen has. So the Torah says, a Kohen can eat Truman, he eats Kutcher, and then it says, and by the way, you Kohen, Ach Pado Sifta, you should do Pidyon HaBen. What do you mean you Kohen should do Pidyon HaBen? Why is Rebbe Shalom telling the Kohen to do Pidyon HaBen? The Kohen's not doing anything. The Kohen's sitting there. Someone's dropping 5 shekel into his pocket and showing. So the answer is no. That the Gaonim learn Pshat and the Pesukim and Parshas Korach, that the Kohen is an active participant in Pidyon HaBen. That's the Mokah. Learned that from the Pesukim and Parshas Korach. And that active mitzvah requires a bracha. And that's why the bracha should be recited. So we don't really paskin that way. We paskin like the Rosh, that doesn't require a bracha. But the Gaonim Shitasim held that it was mamish, an integral part of the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. That's what Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva, that he thinks that you can't give Pidyon HaBen to a kohen katan. Even though a kohen under the age of my mitzvah, he's still a kohen, his kedusha is kuna to him, but he doesn't think you can give him the money for a Pidyon HaBen. Why is that? So Chassam Sofer writes, if Pidyon HaBen would have been just a passive, the kohen would be a passive recipient of matnas kahuna. So he goes on day, give it to the kohen katan, why not? But since the Kohen has to do something, he's got to be mocked at a baby. How's he going to be mocked at a baby? If he's under the age of a mitzvah, he can't be mocked at anything. He can't affect any kinyan in the Torah. So Chassam Sofer says that he thinks based on this shit is a Gaonim, which I'm not sure what Paskin like, but based on this idea of the Gaonim, so it would be inappropriate, it wouldn't be effective to do Pidyon HaBen or using a Kohen Katan. So I call upon him the brachas and Pidyon HaBen, both the brachas that are said and the brachas that are not said, really shed some light about the very essence of the mitzvah. So this has really been the theme of the mitzvah. We'll continue, where you can really understand a lot about a mitzvah by looking at it through the eyes of a bracha. So the brachas themselves were only made the Rabbanan. Chazal, the Tikkun Rabbanan came to Raisa Tikkun, where they instituted the brachas. So they had in mind the whole essence, the whole nature of what the mitzvah is all about. So they encapsulated the idea in the Nuscha Bracha of Al Pidyon HaBen, that the bracha is, the mitzvah is fundamentally the child's mitzvah and the father's, the representative, as the Rambam said. The fact that they instituted Shechianu, that highlights either the fact that it's a rare mitzvah, that highlights that it's a mitzvah Shel Simcha. The fact that we paskin that there is no bracha that's recited by the Kohen, because we seem to be assuming that it's just the Kohen is merely passive. The Gaonim, who had the custom of reciting the bracha, seem to be giving a whole different role. So the machlokes, the Gaonim in the Rush, is the machlokes at a love of the Araisa. What is the very essence? What's the nature of Pidyon HaBen? What's the role of the Kohen in a Pidyon HaBen? And that machlokes at a love of the Araisa now spills over and plays out in terms of the existence, or lack thereof, of this particular bracha. Okay, let's stop here.